Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz. I am Bart Winkler. I want to read you a post from Michael Redd. Michael Redd, a longtime Milwaukee Buck. Maybe that's why I saw it today, but it did sort of circulate a little bit. In defense of, and not even in defense of, but championing the NBA for what has been a very thrilling start to the second round. Some of the first round series left a little to be desired, sure. But this series, this second round, has brought in some of the most outrageous and wild starts that we've seen to playoff series in a long time. The Warriors are going to try to do something tonight that if they beat the Timberwolves, we're going to see something in the first round that we've never seen before. There has never been a season in which all four road teams won game one in the second round. It's never happened. Three of the four teams have won in the same season, in the same round, the second round, seven times, which is a little more than I thought it might be, but seven times the road teams have won at least three of the four games. Never have all the road teams won. And as we saw on Sunday in game one, Indiana beat Cleveland. We saw last night the Nuggets steal one from the Thunder, and essentially the Knicks steal one from the Celtics. It was two great games last night that we discussed with you, and Michael Redd had posted the following. These NBA playoffs are all the marketing the league needs. Six straight hours of playoff basketball tonight, and I couldn't look away. All that hand-wringing about the NBA this season, maybe we've just become too consumed with the reality show aspects and literally taken our eye off the basketball. There are no better athletes on the planet. There is no better game. And there is no better time to watch than now. If you're a basketball fan and not locked into these playoffs, I don't know what to tell you. This is pure hoop. Now, people are watching the playoffs. The NBA ratings are followed so intently, I don't understand it. But they are. For some reason, there needs to be a national dialogue constantly about what the NBA ratings are. And we never actually know what they are. Do you ever know what they are? Do you know how many million people watch the NBA? Is it 2? Is it 7? Is it 13? Is it 250? What's the rating? Is it a 7 rating? Is it a 14 rating? Is it a 35 rating? Nobody knows any of these numbers. All we ever know and make think pieces out of and run into our little echo chambers about, especially NBA detractors, and I've got like 7 names at the top of my head, but just getting started tonight. I'm going to keep them in. They're up. Through the first round of the playoffs, viewership on ABC is up 14%, ESPN 10%, TNT up 3%. Now, what were they? What were they up from? Nobody knows. But they're up. Game 7 between the Rockets and Warriors was the most watched Game 7 on a cable channel since 2009. The NBA is giving us a good product. And I am not trying to make this, as there was some conversation last night, an NBA versus NHL thing. I think that that is one problem that I sort of realized last year that I don't want to become a thing this year is when I'm hyping up the NBA, I'm not ignoring or disparaging the NHL. The NHL's been an incredible playoffs. I haven't seen what the ratings are. You got a Capitals and Hurricanes game in overtime right now. So there's a lot of good sports action. There's a lot of good sports content. Typically, at least me, I am going to follow the NBA more and discuss the NBA more because that is what I feel like the audience is into. But I know there's plenty of hockey people. And so we do enjoy both. No, we're not against anybody. If I'm against anybody, it's people that are trying to dog on the NBA that used to be or claim to have been NBA fans that now don't like this product. Is the game different than what it was when you were a kid? Yes. Has it evolved? Yes. It's maybe evolved in some ways that you don't like. Maybe you don't like when the Boston Celtics take 63-point shots and miss 45 of them. I'll tell you, nobody likes that. That was ridiculous. But what it is, because of the three, and because of some other factors, it is a sport that no lead is safe anymore. No lead is safe. The Celtics were up by 20 in the middle of the third quarter. In the 90s NBA, that would have been a death knell. This is what I would implore people to do, because a lot of us wax poetic about the 90s NBA. So watch these games tonight. You saw the games last night. Watch another game or two or three this week. And then go find on YouTube or wherever a 1990s game. And it can be a top game. It could be an NBA Finals game. It could be a playoff game. You will watch the game and you'll be like, no, I couldn't have. This is not what I expected it to be. Slower, prodding, shot selection's terrible. At the time, we thought it was great. This is different, but it's not, I'm not even going to say better or worse. We just have a problem, our human brain, with nostalgia and enjoying things. You know, the NBA's taken on, I talk about this, the Saturday Night Live thing where, you know, everybody over a certain age doesn't like Saturday Night Live anymore. And it was better when I was 15. Everyone's favorite year of SNL was always when they were 12, 13, 14, or 15 years old. The show's just like it's always been. There's sketches that hit, there's sketches that miss. Maybe in the past they had more of the recurring characters, but I mean, by the third or fourth time they did a sketch, it's like, okay, we get it. Wayne's World says swing. All right. The NBA product right now is thriving. It is good. And as we get into this round of the 2025 playoffs, as Carolina has just beaten the Capitals, as we get into this round of the playoffs, there is unpredictability. We have had things turned upside down already. How far will they last? We're going to find that out. The Nuggets stole one from the Thunder. Can they win a series? We'll find that out, but they got to win on the road. The Knicks took one in Boston. Knicks haven't been able to beat Boston all year. Knicks haven't been able to beat anybody good all year. And Mikal Bridges literally stole it from them last night. The Warriors and Timberwolves, you've got a matchup going on right now. This is a 6-7. The two-seeded Rockets and the three-seeded Lakers both fell to these teams. And this should be a very competitive series, just like the whole lot of them. And to have buried the lead, you have the one-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers that have just lost yet again to the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers almost similar to what happened last night with the Nuggets and the Thunder. They had no business winning this game. They were down 14 heading into the fourth quarter. They were down 7 points with 48 seconds to go. Miss a free throw, and Aaron Naismith comes back and makes a dunk. Donovan Mitchell turns it over. Pascal Siakam makes a layup. There's a foul on Tyrese Halliburton. He makes the first, misses the second, gets the board, hits a 24-foot three to win the game. The Indiana Pacers, if you're just joining us and you had this game on at really any given time of the night, you would think, oh, I'll hear about the Cavs win and the big night from Donovan Mitchell. 48 points for Donovan Mitchell. That's got to be enough, right? No, it wasn't. The Pacers win 120 to 119. Now, I often wonder what I should do about my sports fandom when it comes to broadcasting a national radio show. Available on Odyssey stations throughout the country and the app, Infinity Sports Network stations throughout the country, as well as Sirius XM Channel 375. I'm in Milwaukee. I think that's something fun to highlight. You don't get a lot of national opinions from people in Milwaukee. You get a lot of national opinions about Milwaukee. And one thing I want to get into later is how everyone's trying to make these Giannis trade proposals where it's like it's nobody, not one of these Giannis trade proposals is, hey, let's benefit both teams. It's, hey, the Bucks need to give a better team Giannis as a favor to the league. There's got to be some pushback against that. I like to be the pushback. I think it's interesting to hear the perspective of a Green Bay Packer fan, a team that has won two Super Bowls in my lifetime, yet has so much heartbreak that those Super Bowls, the bad days feel a lot worse than the good days, despite so many people not even having the two good days that I did have. And how relatable to many are the Milwaukee Brewers, a team so apathetic to the league of which it plays. So I don't ever question or feel bad about how much I talk about one of those given teams or how much I cherish or root for and openly root for. And I think that's something that in sports broadcasting has gotten better over the last 10 years. People are willing to show their fandom. People are willing to say, yes, I like that team growing up. I root for that team. I like to see Jim Nance have a third row seat at these Houston Cougars games. Because I know from listening to Jim Nance over the years, he's a Houston Cougars guy. He's never been shy about that. Now, he's got a different job than I do, so he would not be like, yes, hooray, anytime he's doing a game. But you knew where his loyalties lied. I think that's important. I like that. I like that. Former players, even just broadcasters, I like to know that. I don't think it hurts. I think it makes the product better. Where I have a question and where I think that I should pull back, because I do think it becomes, I mean, I could do it in a professional way, but it does get a little perhaps petty and taxing. But I also don't want to hide that part of me. is when I hate a team with the heat of, let me just say, 1,000 suns.
Century.
Yes. When I hate a team, not just because of what they've done to my team. That's a nice entryway. But when I hate a team because of what they represent, because of what they get away with, because of what they continue to be able to do. This is the fine line that I try to walk. We're clear, I'm talking about the Indiana Pacers. I do not like this team. I did not like watching them win tonight. I did not like watching the way in which they won tonight. I do not like how the conversation is going to go with how they won tonight. I'm not bothered that the Pacers beat the Bucks. And now I want the Pacers to lose. That's not what this is. The Bucks were never getting out of that series. They've got their own problems. I'm bothered with how Indiana is winning. And I am bothered that people seem to be oblivious to the frustrations I have with that. I'm going to tell you why you should hate the Pacers as much as I do. I'm going to tell you why these last two playoff runs are paper runs. They are pathetic. They are not worth the weight on which they are given. I'm going to convince you that the iron side that I have for them needs to be shared by you. If you're any bit of a basketball fan, there should be no celebrating what the Indiana Pacers are getting away with. And I will convince you of that when we return. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. The most see-through, transparently fluky team that we've seen in sports in a long time is the Indiana Pacers. The evidence when we come back on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Yeah, it does. They were down 7 points. They came back, got a big shot from Tyrese Halliburton as the Indiana Pacers beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 120 to 119. Tyrese Halliburton doing that thing from Major League, and Sam Cassell's done it where you take your hands and you move them up and down by your groin as if you have massive, let's just say, you know what I mean. Tyrese Halliburton, what a night for him. Honestly, I'll give credit where credit was due. I must. He was the game's sixth leading scorer. Remarkable stuff. 36 minutes, 19 points. Tied with Benedict Mathurin for the 19 points he had. What a beast.
Number six.
That was a three-point shot, yes. Earlier he had taken a drive to the hoop uncontested. Why is no one covering him? Why is he getting everything he wants? Put another guy on him. I don't understand the way teams are defending him. Well, you got a guy that keeps getting to the rack? Well, maybe one, try to defend him. At least the Cavs are putting a guy on him. The Bucks just, anytime he moved, they just let him go. You go, go ahead. You go, sir. Do it again. What do we try to stop you for? We don't care. This was a game where the Cavs came in shorthanded. Okay, there was a bunch of injuries For Cleveland, they've been without Darius Garland game one and two, and then late in the fourth quarter in game one, they lost DeAndre Hunter and they lost Evan Mobley. So already a little shorthanded. They had to have guys play big minutes. Donovan Mitchell played 36 minutes, 48 points. You could tell as things went forward that he was tired. Kenny Atkinson, after the game, Cavs head coach, coach of the year, talked about the Pacers' physicality was not a good opponent for them when they were physically, basically, out of stamina.
Every possession, they just upped their physicality. Again, grabbing, holding, we couldn't move. We ran out of gas. My only grit then is not playing more guys. We shortened the rotation, obviously. That could have been, that's my sole regret. But I loved how we competed.
Now, one thing he could have done was at some point reinserted Ty Jerome, who got the start. But Jerome was 1 for 14. I wouldn't have any trust in him either. Yeah, you might have fresher legs, but you can't hit anything. So what are you really putting back in here? Indiana had a timeout, as you heard from the Pacers radio network. Chose not to use it. Instead, Halliburton hit the three. Atkinson on the final sequence.
Yeah, I mean, we got to look at it. I don't know if we missed a box out, but, I don't know if they said they couldn't review if he went in early or not. So that way they couldn't look at that. I asked Tony, I said, can you look at it? Our video guys seem to think he was in early. I didn't look at the film, but, obviously if they missed that, that's a big one, but I'm not going to make that judgment without seeing it.
So, full disclosure, once again, I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan. For the last 2 years, the Indiana Pacers have knocked the Bucks out of the playoffs. Last year, I was very upset about that. I did not see it coming. The Bucks had some injuries, and the Pacers in that series were starting to act like, hey, look at us. I compared it earlier today to, when David beat Goliath? Like, when David beat Goliath, that's a big reason to celebrate. You're the ultimate underdog in history. But the Pacers beating the Bucks last year was not like David beating Goliath. It was like David showing up to Goliath's hospice room and just unplugging the monitor. Beep. That's what it's been like for Indiana. They're not vanquishing giants here. They are beating up teams as the wheels are falling off and they're falling apart. On the other side, credit Indiana for being able to stay healthy. But the way Indiana is acting, this is my biggest gripe. The way Indiana is acting, it's as if they are beating these teams at full strength. It's as if they are beating a 100% stamina, health Goliath. They're not doing that. They're not even coming close to doing that. But the level of showmanship from this team is so off the charts in a normal setting. Any bit of acknowledgement that they are getting away with it is all I'm asking for at this point. That's all I want to see. Some bit of acknowledgement that, yeah, we're getting lucky. I mean, we're winning the games and we're doing what we need to, but, it'd be great if we could play this team at full strength.
Acknowledge me.
Just give me something. I don't need that much, but I need some sort of acknowledgement. One of the reasons I turned on Russell Wilson, we all know Russell Wilson. You remember he played his senior season at Wisconsin? That was pretty exciting because that was the kind of quarterback that I've never seen in a Badger uniform. So I was a big Russell Wilson guy, and they had some few games where they came up just short, and, it wasn't college football, BCS, aspirations. But it's like, hey, this guy's a Badger. Then he goes to the Seahawks. They have some games with the Packers. We all remember the fail Mary. Oh, it's a touchdown. Oh, it's an interception. Oh, what do we do? We don't know. after the game, Russell Wilson's interviewed and he's talking like he made an incredible play. No, you didn't. You threw the most 50-50 ball of all time. You got lucky that they decided to give the tie to the runner. Just acknowledge it in some way. Just say, yeah, you know, balls bounce crazy, but we got that one. There's got to be some bit of humbleness. That's what drives me nuts. Oh, so Bart said we need to hate the Pacers because they're not humble enough? That's not a good enough reason. All right, let me give you a reason. These are the last two seasons, and we don't know what's going to happen in this series. They're up 2-0 over Cleveland, but let's factor it in. So they played 6 games against the Bucks last year. They played 5 games against the Bucks this year. They played 7 games against the Knicks last year. They played 2 games against the Cavs this year. Here are just some of the players that have missed those games. Against the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2 games, they so far have not had to play Darius Garland in either of them. And tonight, they did not have to face Evan Mobley or DeAndre Hunter. Now, the Pacers are going to be celebrated for this big-time shot, this incredible win with a roster they maybe should have even beaten by more than one. But no, it's such a heroic effort. Wow, Tyrese Halliburton, all the kids are going to buy his jersey. What about the Milwaukee Bucks? Over the course of the last 2 seasons, they've played the Bucks in the playoffs 11 times. 5 of those games, Damian Lillard missed. 6 of those games, Giannis Antetokounmpo missed. Again, knock, knock. Is Goliath there? I'd like to see him. Oh, Dave. Beep. The New York Knicks last year. That series wins 7 games. Kristaps Porzingis missed 4 of them. Mitchell Robinson missed 6 of them. Bojan Bogdanovic and Julius Randle both missed the entire series. The one time in the last 2 seasons they've actually lined up against a team that was healthy, they got their ass swept by the Boston Celtics. So you tell me, is this jilted Milwaukee Bucks fan wants to see the Pacers lose because his team lost? A year ago at this time, 100%, absolutely, that was the reason it drove all of my feelings. Yes, indeed. Yes, sir. Seeing it happen again and again and now again. Who's rooting for this? Even if you're a Pacers fan, you can't be talking smack about this. When I was in college, I had a summer job as a summer custodian. I really liked the job. We would move things from school to school one day. Some day we'd mow lawns. Some day we'd clean windows. Someday we'd clean carpets. You know, it was a little bit of variety. You didn't get bogged down in one thing too much. But there was sort of light supervision. You're basically driving around the school district, going from school to school. These jobs can take as quick or as long as you want them to. Your route across town can take as many detours as you want them to. And we had one guy, and it was funny coming from him because he probably did the least amount of work. Tenured guy, he's been there for 40 years. More of a morale guy at this point than anything else. But he always asked us every 2 weeks, can you look your boss in the eye when he gives you your paycheck? Or do you got to be looking at your shoes? Can you accept this paycheck knowing you put in 2 hard weeks of work and every cent that is coming your way is earned and deserved? Or did you hoodwink the payroll? Did you not put in your best effort? Are you looking up when you're getting your paycheck, or are you looking at your shoes? The Pacers should be looking at their shoes, but they are essentially saying, na-na-na-na-boo-boo, while collecting wins against these teams with injuries. So don't root against the Pacers because they beat you. Don't root against the Pacers because I'm sad. Root against the Pacers because they are manipulating basketball. The basketball gods keep taking out stars on these other teams, not letting us even see what this Pacers team could look like. I'm willing to lay down all of my Pacers takes. I want to see this team. They're an interesting team. They're a competitive team. I'm not saying they're not a good team, but I want to see their best against Milwaukee's best. I want to see their best against the Knicks' best. I want to see their best against the Cavs' best. The only time we've seen their best against anybody's best was against the Celtics. And then they lost. Speaking of injury, Steph Curry is out for the remainder of game one with a hamstring strain. So wondered what the quick turnaround would do. It has done that. Golden State is up 38-28. There's 2.5 left to go in the second quarter. These are the kind of games Golden State is winning is with their defense. Minnesota's got 8 points in 10 minutes of second quarter action. But this game far from over, and with no Steph Curry, that could certainly be a difference maker. So we'll see how this one plays out. And if Steph Curry is out the rest of the game and the Timberwolves win, people will say, yeah, okay, they won, but we do have to say Curry was out. With the Pacers, it's, oh yeah, great shot, Haliburton. No mention of the three guys that missed some time. 888-710-4476, 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update on these games in action, both on the ice and the hardwood and more. Here is Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
By Gaudreau, finds Trocheck. Back out to Barkley. Gaudreau, the shot! And Barkley, Gaudreau in overtime!
The biggest voices in sports.
You're asking me dumb questions, guys. Really dumb questions. Jesus. We done? Thank you.
The heartbreak.
Edmonton will finish +5 in goal differential, but without a Stanley Cup to celebrate. A devastating loss for Edmonton and an exhilarating win for Florida.
The celebrations.
A dream 30 years in the making.
Yeah!
Is a reality.
Yeah!
The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That it is, disembodied voice. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, only on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. The host who can boast the most roast, Bart Winkler. It is Tuesday, May 6, 2025. And thank God for Ned Flanders that I can rhyme all that stuff together. Bart, let's start with the game that just ended about an hour ago. Pacers take game two to take a 2-0 lead in the series over the Cavs. 120-19, your final score. Tyrese Haliburton with a three-pointer, 1.1 second left, gave the Pacers the lead and obviously the win. But the storyline here really should just be the injuries. The Cavs without three of their best players. So Kenny Atkinson, head coach for the Cavs, says, we need to get these guys back.
Yeah, we got to get guys back. That's first. Hopefully if we can, we can get guys back. I've been down 2-0 before at home. And you know, we have enough talent. We have enough talent in there to go get... game three, that's it. That's all that counts. Not game four, not game, we just got to focus on getting game three.
Yeah, Haliburton probably just ended the Cavs season. Great shot, unreal choke job by Cleveland. They're toast. They're down 0-2 with three of their most important players banged up. Yeah, their great season is over. Do you know who tweeted that, Carlos? Do you know who tweeted that tonight? A friend of ours, a friend of this network, an EP of this network.
Was it Ryan Hickey?
It was.
All right, so go to completely the opposite. I've been making a boatload of money off of him. So if Hickey said it's over, that means it's just getting started.
What was the last one you profited on that would be the Warriors?
He said the Rockets were 1,000% going to close out. I immediately tweeted out, and so it's out there in the ether for proof, fade the Rockets. Smartest thing I did.
Yeah, let me go try to find a series price on those Cavaliers and see what I can do. I've got a fun stat for you when we come back to start hour number two. Basically, the Pacers are doing something that has only been done a few times in the 1,600 times that it has been possible to do. So I will relay that for you. It's remarkable, but it's easy to come back when you're playing a MASH unit, so kudos to them.
All right, let's go rewind a little bit back to the probably the best game seven series in the first round that nobody cared about. It was the Nuggets and the Clippers. Nuggets sent L.A. Packing 120-101 was game seven. But here is Clippers president Lawrence Frank. There's a lot of question marks to be had with this Clippers team. Lawrence Frank says he doesn't plan on blowing it up and rebuilding.
Sometimes, as we've seen, we've had some young players that we've liked never really could get on the floor just because the guys in front of them were better, no fault of them, and they had gone on and they'd got some opportunities elsewhere. That happens, especially when you're in a situation that we're in where every year we're trying to compete. Like, regardless of the fact that we don't own our own draft for 4 years, just from an organizational philosophy from Steve, it's always about competing and giving our fans every single night. He wants them knowing we're trying to win.
This is a trap. I don't want to say trap, but this is a circumstance teams will fall into where they're competing, and so they do moves to help them compete, because if they were going to pivot off of the moves of competing, they would be a disaster. Yet there isn't really a lot of room for them to improve, so they have to maintain the status quo, and that would be Kawhi still there. You got a lot of guys under contract next year, and then James Harden, there's a player option. It's $36 million. He can opt out of that and probably get more money, or he could opt in and try to, you know, do a 2-1 or a 1-1 or whatever. But for the Clippers, status quo is probably the ceiling. This is the ceiling. So it's either do this and hope that you get a BS-like Pacers run, or you start over and you're not good for a number of years. And this is like the best they've been ever. So they're in a tough spot. There's certainly a much lower floor than where they're at. I'm not sure the ceiling is that much higher.
All right, and let's go back yesterday to Denver's win over Oklahoma City, 121-119. They steal game one. Nikola Jokic, how about his stat line? 42 points, 22 rebounds. But the play of the game belongs to Aaron Gordon. He hit a three-pointer with 2.8 seconds left. And the Joker says Aaron Gordon doesn't get that much respect.
He deserves it. He's like I said, he's the soul of this team. He's a glue guy. He probably doesn't give them much respect that he deserves. But I think he doesn't need like attention, so he knows what he's doing. So I'm happy for him.
Well, he's probably right. I mean, Aaron Gordon was the centerpiece for a while with the Orlando Magic and was almost an afterthought when he came to Denver. And we're talking about him as if he's just another one of the pieces around him. I mean, it's still Aaron Gordon. He's a huge player for them. He's a big reason that they did win a title. Obviously, Jokic being 1, 2, and 3 of that. But good for him to shut out a teammate who's really been a big part of not only their previous runs, but so far this one.
All right, now let's get one last one in here. Let's also go back yesterday to the Knicks taking game one against the Celtics, 108-105 there. Yes, Mikal Bridges did steal the game literally out of Jaylen Brown's hands by swiping the ball there. But the story's got to be that the Celtics missed a million threes. So here's Jaylen Brown on the amount of three-pointers that they took.
Some of them felt good. Some of them felt like we maybe forced the issue. And definitely our rhythm and our timing was a little bit off. We got a lot of great looks. But, you know, it may be some truth to that. We got to look at the film and see kind of what happened in that second half.
You can see those shot charts where it's the half of the court and then the little bubbles on where the guys took their shots. Tatum, who for a lot of the game, if he's going against Brunson, you outsize him. There's a few shots near the bucket, but he basically just ran up and pulled up threes. The Celtics are better than just having to resort to threes. I would expect a much different approach in game two. And possibly the Celtics at least evening things back up in that series. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.